Liebend Break Radio presents Elegantly Edwith. It's like meeting up for champagne with the girls after a long day of relaxing on the yacht step.
Elegantly Edwith.
Eclectic.
Electric.
Emotional.
And absurdly specific.
www.limitbreakradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Elegantly Edwith. I'm your host, Edwith. Thank you for joining me. I'm joined today, as always, by my cohort and elegant assistant, DJ Play School. How are you doing today, DJ Play School?
Doing great. Thanks for asking.
Cool. And we're also joined by Krutz of the Garuda server. How are you doing today, Krutz?
Never better.
And we are also very excited to have from FXN staff, Kyle. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
How are you?
I think you may be the first person who asked me that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Does anybody ever ask the host? And?
I don't even know.
You're dancing that question.
I'm good.
I never thought about myself before. JK. It's hilarious. We're going to be talking about FXN in a little bit, but first we're going to quote-unquote roll 'em for in-game. And yeah. Lol. I don't know why. I have a confession to make. People always ask me all the time, of all the questions I get asked about my show, the question that I get asked the most frequently is, do you actually roll the dice when you're doing
Do we have dice?
No, I don't. I have a dice roller online because I was doing some D&D stuff, and so I just downloaded it, and then that was before I started recording the show, and I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool if I rolled the dice. It was random all the time as to who would go. Well, so then, but people seem to not believe that I actually roll the dice, and it's quite disconcerning because people think
I put bets on this.
What? Do you want to put a bet
on what the rule?
No.
You can't bet Gil because you don't have any.
Oh.
No, he has a
I don't know if you can place bets on polyhedral dice.
No, he's that 50 Gil from the adventure coupon that he once played. Remember?
Right.
Okay. First person to go is Krut. What have you been doing in game and out of game lately?
In-game, which is obviously more important than out-of-game,
yes.
I have been gearing my red mage because I am going to make an attempt to solo Gwivra. That is my plan. I hope to have the gear and be prepared for it mentally by July.
Wow.
Long-term goal,
to solo Gwivra. Yes.
Is it even possible for you to solo Gwivra?
I heard rumors that it has been done.
Okay.
So I'm trying to do her. But
how about you? You go solo, and you just happen to bring some friends along just in case something.
That doesn't sound like soloing to me.
Like maybe the lion's worth of people.
I don't. People always say that to me. They're like, man, if you come heal me, I can solo it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's considered duoing. And out of game, I just have a lot of school, really. I take networking at Fanshawe College, which is really not that hard this semester, but yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Play a lot of Final Fantasy XI.
Did you say you had something that you were playing outside of?
Oh, yeah, we're not gonna
get into that.
Maybe, alright. I'm gonna get lynched and everybody's gonna stop listening to your podcast right now.
Am I gonna lynch you? Because I'm right in here, because I'm the biggest threat.
I've been playing World of Warcraft recently.
Okay. It happens. I knew the second you brought it up that that's what you were playing. I was not even a question in my mind.
Is this some sort of like a button heads thing?
The fan base doesn't usually cross. It's more usually like a.
I don't know what else to say. But you're not the only person who's ever been on a Final Fantasy XI podcast that played World of Warcraft, Kalo. And yeah. So you can, it's cool. I understand. People need diversity in their life. If you could,
oh, is it correct?
If you come back to 11 in the end, it's okay.
I have a thing where I switch on and off. Like, I'll play Final Fantasy 11 for like 8 months straight, like at least 5 hours a day, every day for 8 months. And then I just burn out on it. I can't play this game anymore. It's not fun anymore. So I gotta go play WoW because it's ridiculously easy mode. And then when I realize that. Yeah. It's way too easy. I go back to Final Fantasy XI for a challenge.
See, when I get burnt out, I just don't play. I don't go to the other side. It's okay.
We have cookies.
Ooh, I like cookies. What kind of cookies?
Big self-righteous.
Oh, and for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Krut on the Garuda server. Red Mage, White Mage, and Black Mage 75.
I've heard many a tall tale about the Krut Mage from the Krut Mage himself.
And if I... you ask me for help, the answer's probably going to be no, because I'm a little bit of a jerk, but no, that's not true. I'll help you probably, as long as you're not a rude person.
I have a technical question to ask you. If you went out with your NPC and soloed Gwyver, would that be considered soloing? Because I think it would.
That's a tough call, because that's... Yeah, I think it would be, because that's like kind of like, well, I was going to say it's kind of like a Beastmaster using his beast, but I guess it's not really. But yeah, I would consider that soloing.
Do you know what the funnest thing ever was? I was once on my Beastmaster level 4, and I was fighting something, and then I was going to die. I was like, there's no effing way I'm going to survive. But for some reason, I had my Signal Pearl attached, because I didn't have any gear for that slot. I was like, then I called out my Tarutaru, and he saved the day. And I didn't die.
Nice. There was four of us fighting Circuit in the bottom of Garlic Citadel there, and I don't know what it was, but this guy was just on coke that night, and he was just tearing us up.
Gakula.
Three of us die, the only one left is our samurai, or no, it was our monk, and he's just chakraing himself and running around, he's like, oh, I don't think we're taking this, and he pulls out his NPC was only like level 50 something, and it finished the Circuit off,
nice.
And we're like, yes! Dropped a V claw and the ring.
Oh, I want that circuit ring.
Like, money.
Gil.
Bull Gil. Is that all you've been doing lately, Sir Kurt?
Yes.
Well then, DJ.
You just said Kurt. No,
it's Krut.
I don't know.
Already.
DJ, please don't stop the music and tell me what you've been doing lately.
Hey, did you roll the dice for this?
No, I didn't need to. I only have two guests that are applicable to the in game. You're FXN, you're out of the...
Oh.
So I only rolled the D2, which essentially... Is
Do I get to talk about what I've been playing?
You can.
Okay, I will.
Okay. So DJ, what have you been doing?
Oh, me. Let's see. In-game, I've recently gotten both Corsair and Dancer to 75, and nice. I've been struggling with the internal battle. Okay, I have two support jobs that... may or may not be very useful to people at the end game. Do I want to actually try to go end game and get some gear for these, or do I need to go back and try something else? And so I've been throwing that up in the air a little bit. I'd love to go into Nizol, and I've kind of strategically leveled some of these jobs so that I don't need to do like 80 different end game events to get gear for it. Lol Denali. But, I've been working with that. I've been, you know, trying to, you know, at least raise some money to get some decent gear, you know, kind of getting dust pieces one at a time and such. So I run like, you know, at 50% speed or things like that. I've been doing some BCs recently, had a couple of good ODS runs. So that's been good for me. Otherwise, been doing campaign, working on some, merit points and such. And that's a whole lot. I've kind of scaled back my play a lot here recently, seeing as this is something I was on PFA talking about when my account got hacked last year, near the end of last year. And at that time, I still had a Japanese account. It's a Japanese account I created back in 2002. And I had been less than truthful when registering because of the restrictions back then that they had in the actual Play Online application to register for the game. So my account basically was terminated. So I started over again. Yeah, so I started over again at the beginning of October of last year, and some people have congratulated me, and others been a little less forthright in congratulating me on getting 275 jobs in the span of about 3.5-4 months.
That's impressive.
That is quite impressive, yes.
That's been the most of it in game. Other things I've been doing, I actually, just today before, getting online here, I picked up Mass Effect for PC because a couple of friends have been telling you gotta play this game, you gotta play this game. Come on, Mike, you gotta play this game. So I'm gonna go ahead and give that a shot here. I've also started work on some new music. I'm going to be launching a new project called Teiku, which means low altitude. And it's going to be really minimal, and I'm going to try my hand at actual non-sequenced music production. So it's going to be like a lot of actual, like, you know, vinyl cuts, actual live synth performance, things like that, just to mix things up, not just, you know, look at a giant grid filled with multicolored tracks and, you know, do stuff by hand and loop it over and over and over again. I'm gonna, you know, try to do things a little bit differently this time around, so hopefully that turns out well. I think I should have, after, you know, kind of planning things out and getting stuff recorded, should have tracks starting to come out for that in the next 2 to 3 weeks here. So if anybody wants to check it out or check out stuff I've done, you know, over the past few years, you can go to djplayschool.com. Shameless promotion, yeah.
Plug.
and check it out. But, yeah, that's basically what I've been doing in game and out of game otherwise.
What about you, Kyle? I know you were talking about what you've done out of game. So, well, since you're out of game is...
I did have an account, like, what year was that?
No, I was 2006? Like 2 years ago or something.
Yeah, I think it was during December for a week.
And I told him I've clocked over 300 days on the game. He's like, yeah, I can't get into this.
Yeah, wait, do you want me to start with FXN or games?
You should start with your own games, and then after in-game we'll do FXN.
Okay. Well, I don't usually have much time to play games, which is kind of odd because I'm aspiring to be a video games journalist, but I picked up a DS yesterday. I had one before, but I sold it to get Metal Gear Solid 4 in June, which is a righteous trade. And and I got Final Fantasy 4 with it, and I played only about an hour of it so far, but it is so good. It is, like, for a DS game, it's really good. I had Final Fantasy 3. I don't know if did any of you guys play it for DS?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I finished it, but by the end, it's just like, why did I finish this game? It's such a waste of time. Like, the last dungeon was just like battle every 3 steps, and it was really not fun. I just kept dying, and it sucked. But this game is actually pretty fun, because I have Final Fantasy 4 on the Game Boy Advance. I was playing through that, and it's kind of glitchy a little bit. Battles just go wonky all of a sudden. It was really killing the fun of the game. That's not really cinematic. I really love cinematics in games, and cutscenes or no cutscenes and stuff like that kind of killed it for me. But playing on DS, they actually have voice acting. They have like cutscenes where, you know, the camera's actually pointing at somebody's face, or opposed to just 2D sprites running around. So it's really fun. Cool. I'm just kind of surprised because I thought I fell out of the fun of playing Final Fantasy again. Like, say if I played 7 for like the 18th time, it wouldn't be as fun, but this has got me. It's like, I wouldn't mind playing it right now.
Lol.
Yeah. I also been playing, Star Ocean for the PSP. I bought that a little while ago as a gift for myself for no particular reason. And, I haven't played much of that. It's got voice acting too, and it looks nice, and it's not as fun as Final Fantasy IV.
Happy me day. Yeah, I do that sometimes. Like,
yeah, I think I passed a test or something, and I was like, yes!
Yes!
Reward.
Mm-hmm. So, for me, I've been COP grinding some more. I'm trying to think of what I've done exactly. I know I led a Minotaur run, which was shocking because it was my first... Well, it was technically my second time through, but it was my first time through, I guess. Like, actually succeeding, so it felt special to me. And then I did... Oh, I did Mammoths! Thank you, Tiger Fury, for your expertise in mammoting. Took us like 3 tries, but whatever. Then we did Diablos. Took us like 3 tries. But you know it was fun with the tiles? Like, I was like scared. Like, I was like, I hope my tile doesn't fall. Even though I was on the tile that I knew that wasn't gonna fall, it was still scary. And, the first 2 times we wiped, and I was like out of Yagdrinks, so I only bought 10 or something, and I was like, oh, that'll be enough. But I was going through them, like, they were, like, going out of style. So, then the last time, the one time we actually won was thankfully he nightmared us all, and he drew me in or something, and he hit me, so I was woken up because somehow I had hate, and then I benedictioned, and then we won. It was epic. It was epic.
Nice.
So I was like, yes. And then I did Oryu, which I hear was really hard. Like, if you didn't buy the sprig mistletoe, whatever that keeps them on the ground. But anyways, we didn't buy any of that. All six of us, none of that. We did it total mana burn style. It was paladin tank, summoner, red mage, two black mages, and a white mage. And it was epic. It was epic fun. It's like, rah, rah, a mana font, astral flow, and chain spell, and we, like, won. And then the paladin 2-houred, because I don't know why the paladin 2-houred, because the paladin was fine.
Why not?
It's like everyone else is doing it.
I'm not doing anything for 2 hours.
Well, then we ended up going to Sacrarium, and then we got two keys, and then we got a cutscene, and then we realized that we had to clear 4 more height, but then it was like 4 a.m., so they were like, no.
Oh, jeez.
So, BS Phil and Tiger Fury, I thank you very much, and Spider Jaw. And I hope that I can convince them three to join me again on this epic Sacrarium adventure, because that is on my next thing to do there. I also leveled Puppet Master to 69, which is getting up there. And I was told by BS Phil that I am completely doing Puppet Master unacceptably, going slash dancer. And the reason I was going slash dancer is because it's the only job that I got to 37. That's acceptable for Puppet Master. So I have, like,
level your warrior.
Thank you.
That's what level
I was,
it.
I was gonna say he wants me to level my warrior. So apparently I'm gonna be leveling my warrior, which I got to. Well, it was just basically me fighting it and him. Oh my god! you know what made me so mad? He was going into salvage, and I was like, will you help me with Oryu after you're done with salvage? He's like, yeah, totally. Well, after some fighting, totally. But and then I was like, okay, I'll go level warrior for that 100 minutes, okay? And you'll go to salvage. And he's like, fine, that sounds like a good idea. So then I'm leveling warrior, and I'm talking to him on Skype, and I'm like, hey, are you almost done? He's like, oh, just like a half an hour left. I'm like, hey, are you almost done? Like, 10 minutes left. And I was like, hey, are you almost done? He's like, 10 more minutes. I'm like, you said 10 minutes? 10 minutes ago. That's weird. And then, I find out he was idling in Whitegate for over half an hour as I was leveling warrior. It was so frustrating. Like, you're still a liar. I will never trust you again, BS Phil. But
I think that's hilarious.
I probably will. He just didn't. I don't think he wanted to do it, but he agreed. No, he wanted me to love my warrior.
I was just gonna say, maybe he just wanted you to level your warrior.
Level your warrior,
because he's like a 75 puppet master, and he thinks I'm dishonoring puppet masters by subbing dancer. I'm like, whatever.
I hope Midnight Memory doesn't listen to this podcast and you'd be like, I can't believe that guy doesn't have warrior level there.
And, I'm trying to think of, I did some Nizul IO runs, and we got, Kamar, her Galliard's body. And I don't know. That's pretty much it. I have about a month to go before I could transfer back to Bahamut. But I'm not really sure if I'm doing that immediately. Like, I don't know. It's gonna be a difficult day when that comes around. And now we're going to talk about the exciting, the ever-popular, the top 25 in video game podcasting, FXN.
Oh, I didn't know I was on the top
25. Were you on the 20? Were you doing film?
We have been at one point, but not right now, since we don't have an episode out right now. But our last episode came out at the beginning of the month.
You always say your highest. Like, artists are, like, the number one selling. Like, they're not...
Oh, I know.
They're not number one right now, but they were. So you were one, so you are.
Awesome. Okay. FXN. Yeah. Where to start? I host the show with my good pals Lauren McFadden, Jamie Kortz, and David Turner. We all run the site FinalFantasy13.net and FF-13.net. That's the Roman numeral. But we've been running the show since November 2007 now, and it's evolved quite a bit since then. We originally started as a Final Fantasy 13 podcast. We'd cover news, talk about what we've been playing, and answer questions from listeners and stuff like that. But since then, maybe the past 3 months, we switched over to covering all of Final Fantasy. And there's really not any other podcasts out there that cover just Final Fantasy, because I know there's a crazy amount of 11 podcasts. Is there like a number on how many there are?
Let's do a little count right now. There's
700.
No. There's Hoot Alpha, there's Limerick Radio, there's He Says, She Says, there's My Show, there's Radio Signet, there's Level Down, there's The Mog House, there's that Brazilian podcast that no one listens to because it's Brazilian. And
that was me.
I'm probably missing someone. I'm probably going to offend someone. I have 8 right now. 8.
That's crazy.
And
yeah, so yeah, we got a really open market, sort of, I guess. So I don't know. We have a lot of fun on the show. Right now, most of our news is covering Final Fantasy 13, but since we opened up to all of Final Fantasy, we've been covering like Advent Children Complete and Dissidia Final Fantasy and other things I can't remember.
I noticed you didn't mention the mass exodus of Final Fantasy 11. What are you, biased?
Yeah, none of us have played Final Fantasy 11.
I noticed that once you switched to this format, you didn't talk about Crisis Core nearly as much as when you were 13 exclusive.
Yeah, it's strange how that works. But, well, the thing is, the Crisis Core came out in March. But, exciting, we are having a Crisis Core episode in March. Because last year in, I guess it was our April episode, because Crisis Core came out on the 25th or 26th of March in 2008, we had that show. I don't know if you heard it, but we had like a half an hour dedicated to Crisis Core, but we didn't, it was spoiler free. So we said, we won't spoil Crisis Core during the podcast for a year. Well, now it's going to be a year because like, on the show, it's completely spoilers podcast. So like, we'll, except for maybe Final Fantasy 12-ish, but we didn't really play that much. But like 7, 8, 9, 10, we spoil like crazy. And but not Crisis Core, since it just came out. So we're going to do an episode dedicated to fanboying and fangirling over Crisis Core.
And spoiling. You're just going to make
spoil the crap out of it. We'll have a big warning. It'll be a separate episode. It'll be like mid-March. It'll be a really pain in the butt to produce. Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention, we're also FinalFantasyUnion.com. It's kind of confusing. My website is merging into another website, FinalFantasyUnion.com. So soon enough, FinalFantasy13.net will be no more, and it'll just redirect there. But it's a better site, and I run it with my buddy Daryl and Colin and Lauren and the other people. But what else to say about the podcast? Okay, well, if you guys want to find the show, you can just search FXN on iTunes, and it'll pop up. Or you can just search Final Fantasy on iTunes, and it'll pop up under podcasts, and we come out once a month on the first Wednesday of every month. We usually record like the last day of every month, so we actually record episode 14 myself, Jamie, Lauren, and David tonight in about 4 hours.
Exciting 5 hours. Stuff
when I'm at work.
Yeah, well, Craig's at work, so yeah. What do you think of the show, Edward?
I really like the show. Yeah, no, I'm the one who contacted you. I absolutely hate the show. I find it completely annoying. I never listen to it ever.
We're going to make fun of you.
Totally.
You actually emailed David, and I didn't know this until I asked David, because when you replied to me, you said, oh, I'm glad you replied. I was like, wait, David, when did you get this email? Because you emailed...
Like a month ago.
January 10th. And I didn't know that when I replied, because he forwarded it to me like yesterday.
Did I send it to the wrong...
20 days delay.
Did I send it to the wrong email?
You sent it to David's email, but he just doesn't check his email that often, like once every 20 days, I guess.
Okay. I thought I sent it to hosts, but maybe I just sent it to, oh well, David, Kyle, Jamie, and Lauren. No, I did that in wrong order. Darn it.
It's Kyle, Jamie, Lauren, and David. There you go.
Yeah, I fail at order, apparently. So is that all you have to tell us about your exciting adventures in FXN podcasting?
I'm sure I could talk about it for hours and hours. Depends if you want to cut me off.
I probably know.
It's a good show. We have a lot of fun producing it. It got me into games journalism. That's what I'm going through in college now, thanks to it. And I go on the radio and stuff now. So, we try our best to make a great show and keep it concise. So, and we feature like, Final Fantasy remixes from Overclock Remix. Every episode we ask the artists, to tell us about them and the remix and get permission to have it on the show. We have a professionally produced intro and stuff like that. And we have a fun ass time.
It sounds fun.
I'm always smiling like crazy during the entire show because we're just laughing and crying the whole show.
Is there any plans to make your show bi-weekly? I know you've suggested before.
Probably not, because I just started another podcast, because as part of trying to become a games journalist, I'm opening up a general gaming website with my partner in crime, Daryl. Well, he's more taking on the brunt of it, and Colin, who's the graphic designer. But we've started a podcast for that as well, called State of the Union, since it's called Gaming Union, the website, gamingunion.net. Not up yet, but pretty soon. But since we do that once a month as well, and 2 weeks apart from my podcast, FXN, so it's like I'm doing podcasts bi-weekly now, but there's two separate ones. So if I try to do FXN bi-weekly, I'd be doing it with the same week as State of the Union, which would be crazy because college is way too busy, and I got a part-time job and write for the school newspaper, and I have homework and
life. Yes.
Yeah. No, I have no life.
And you're a gamer, which is also important.
Yeah, I'm barely squeezing that in.
You need to play games more often. That's
what I'm trying to do. I'm scheduling it in.
You know what you gotta do? Let's play Final Fantasy 11.
Really?
That's what I was thinking.
What is this 11 about? I hear so much about it.
Great game.
Well, maybe you should listen to some of my shows. That would be
I did.
I know, but you didn't listen to enough because you're not hooked. You need to get hooked.
Oh. I promise I won't get hooked on Final Fantasy 11 because that would be the end of my college career.
He doesn't have that kind of time. Trust me, this guy is ridiculous.
Just busy.
Just buy a character from eBay.
Don't. You can't say things like that.
RMT.
No, that is R.
Get a license booked.
No one would know that it's RMT though. You're just like, and no. I've heard of people buying characters.
I've been playing forever. Ask Krut. Yeah, man, he's been here since like 2005. Where have you been?
He totally has, actually. He just took a short sojourn. And now we're going to go to our exciting main topic discussion. Anyways.
Oh, just real quick, thanks for letting me plug my show like crazy. That's
nope.
You could FXN.
You can plug all the time. Anytime you want to come on and not know anything about 11 and plug your show.
I'll bring Craig with me.
You're welcome.
Translate.
You're welcome to it. And now to the exciting main topic discussion of freelancers in campaign. And the episode is going to be called Commissioned, and we're going to be discussing how to improve your campaign by getting freelancers on your side. I'm talking to you, Bastok, because I love you. Bastok for life, but we don't do these things that help us, apparently.
Blastok.
I was just going to say that.
We are Blastok, but I love you. I love you, Bastok. I don't love Windy. Oh, I also forgot to mention that I switched to Windy. I don't know if I said that already.
Don't tell people that.
Would it take a really long time to explain to me what you guys are talking about?
There's three nations. Okay, there's three nations.
No, I just mean for what we're about to talk about. Sorry.
Oh.
The commission.
Oh, there's NPCs in the game, and right. You're like fighting the war against the Beastmen.
Yeah.
These NPCs are like superheroes or whatever, and you can kind of sway them to join your army instead of like
the other army.
Nation's army.
That they called freelancers?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
See, this is what Craig's here for.
Yes, translation. First time ever on an 11 podcast, I think.
I'll just mouth to you, what are they saying? And you can just break in there.
Well, so DJ Play School, please tell us about Actel. How do you get him, and what does he do? Or her. I don't even know.
I believe it's her. Yeah, it's her. It's actually a dragoon. For each of the freelancers, essentially, they may or may not be allied. And when they're not allied, they're normally out in some area of the game, just somewhere in the past, normally just in some assigned zone. And what happens is in order to influence them, you have to do certain things, like you have to talk to them as a certain job or trade them a certain item or just meet some requirement, and that raises influence. And then when that conquest tally happens every Sunday, they may just say, okay, I've been more influenced by this nation, so I'm going to help them out at random points in time during their nation's campaign battles. For Octel specifically, she's a dragoon, and so all you have to do is talk to her as a dragoon. And you basically help out with influence. And basically, the more people that try to influence, because I believe you can only do it once every so often, or you probably have to like zone out before trying to increase the influence some more. But yeah, you influence her by talking as a Dragoon. And the good thing about freelancers and why you always want to have freelancers, or if you're presented with the opportunity to get a freelancer to join your army to do so, they help out immensely in campaign. You know, the armies by themselves help out a lot, because there's nothing worse than, you know, having a dozen people there trying to take on like 50,000 people simultaneously. They normally aren't by themselves either. Like, Octel, she actually has a Wyvern that will accompany her as well. And they typically have, you know, some great special attacks, high hit point. They last a very, very long time. And so they'll, basically if you're able to get them to join, they'll show up just at random points in time. I'm not quite sure how it calculates when they join a battle or what battles they join, but hey, if you're in a battle, they might just show up.
And she's normally found in, when she's unallied, you can find her in East Ronfar, but when she's allied, she'll be in one of the cities, because that's...
I think most of them are like that. They're out in the zone somewhere, and then if they're allied, they'll basically just chill in town and show up on the battlefield whenever they feel like it, I suppose.
Yeah, they're like, I feel like going today. You know, the Beastmen Confederate could wait. They always seem to be attacking.
A nice day out. I think I might go for a walk. Basically. Get some breakfast.
Like, oh, the Beastmen. Yes, them. Again, every day.
Yeah.
Krut, would you like to tell us about the exciting, the ever popular, I don't even know this person, Aru Hat?
No, I wouldn't. Actually, I've never encountered this individual NPC. I'm not going to pretend that I'm the guru of campaign, because I do it so rarely. I really just know campaign from what my brothers told me. But apparently, Aru Hat, when she's unallied, you can find her in Grauberg and sway her by trading medicines to her, like, you know, potions and ethers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And transforms into a worm and does a lot of damage. And he transforms into... I'm not even going to try and say that name.
Osmanuk.
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 Yeah, I have seen Osmanuk.
Yeah, I have. Me too.
Yeah, she's just kind of like odd. I think she's a blue mage, maybe. And yeah. So when you talk to her like outside, because I've run into her a couple of times, she's just kind of really aloof. Like, so this is what a city is like.
I see.
Stuff like that. She's quite out there, but yeah, very, very powerful.
Awesome. Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw her, and I thought she was going to kill us, because I didn't realize freelancers, like, oh my god, we're so dead. But then Shadowhand killed me, so it didn't really matter.
Shadowhand.
It's true. And that's pretty much it for Aru Hat, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
One time I was frolicking throughout Jugner. Actually,
the only mode of transportation.
Yeah, frolic.
The only mode of transportation.
Yeah, straight.
I was actually at a Choco, and I was with Max, and we were just like on our way to Battalia Downs S for some reason. I can't remember why. I think we're hunting gnolls. Anyways, I saw Alicorn. Of course, I had to jump off my Choco because I was like, and I got to get some screenshots with it. Pose for me and work it, Alicorn, work it. Fierce. And so I just cured it because I'm a white mage and that's what I do. And then I didn't know, but that apparently is how you influence Alicorn, because he has this like this DOT on him, and you're like, he's so sad and his horn is broken, and you're like, aww.
Aww.
I've heard that when he joins you in the battlefield, Alcidos has told me about him, how she's just like, she's like Ixion, but on your side, and all light-based attacks instead of electric, so it's like she's epic and you win life.
Right.
So, and then apparently, no matter who she's aligned to, she's always in Windurst, so that's lame. Darn them. Darn those Windurstians and them being...
Yeah. Edwith, during those winter seasons.
You know, okay? I just want to get my Cobra Unit hat for my Puppet Master, and maybe some other Puppet Master stuff. And that's it. Then I'm gone. Then I'm like, that's Bastok with me. I'll even...
Good.
So, it's just temporary, and I will be out of there soon. I hope.
Good, we need more cures. Quality wipe.
I still go to Bastok campaign, because I'm like, Rollinberry's my fun place. And then I, like, pass out and stuff. I don't like Jugner too much, but I go there when there's nowhere else to go. And then we're going to ask Kyle about asthma. So have you ever happened to run across asthma on your travels?
Are you kidding? Of course I have. Me and asthma are tight. Me and asthma hang out at Northern Gustaberg.
I'm when they're not allied. That right.
that's how you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, snap. I thought I stumbled over that. Okay, and when they're allied, do I just say the cities?
Yeah, just
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just the cities. Yeah, I don't recognize those. If you want to hang tight with asthma and me, you got to talk to her with a high alchemy skill, and she will then. I don't know. I'm talking about my butt here, but provides additional temporary items and fights with powerful lightning and magic.
That sounds exciting. Has anyone ran into asthma? Because I've never ran.
No.
Wasn't lying.
No, I haven't actually. From Bastok, never seen her.
Kyle has.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you and asthma, you're like out in North Gustaberg. What's in North Gustaberg? What's there? You're just like, yo.
Green Shutter never happened.
Green Shutter never happened. So true.
I don't have any. I don't have any random tales about me and asthma. Sorry.
Well, I can think of some. You were going out killing not Spiny Spippy. What's the name of that lizard that's over there?
Goblin.
what is that lizard that everyone always wants that has the bounding boots?
Oh, Leaping Lizzie.
Yeah, you and her are like, let's go kill Leaping Lizzie, and now you're 0 for 500.
I love I'm a 1 for 1 on Leaping Lizzie, man. You don't even know.
I haven't even tried.
So these guys help you side by side in battles or something?
What's that?
Will these guys help you like side by side in battles?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why you want them.
That's why we're tight. Okay.
Yes.
They're using me.
Using me. What about the next exciting freelancer, Bobbin Nye? Yeah, DJ Play School.
Was it Bobbin Nimiela? Nimiela or something like that. It's a Lycopodium, basically.
Lycopodium.
Yeah. So yeah, really, really small, really cute. You find them wandering around Maritod Mountains when not allied. However, you can influence it by trading it distilled water. And I think it also, when you do that, I think it like follows you for like a minute or so, or kind of like what other like Lycopodiums do. They just kind of look at you and then follow you around. However, when they are allied and they actually go into battle, this little guy is assisted by like all types of, like plantoid monsters to help your armies. So I think he's assisted, outside of the cities by a treant, a morbol, and a cactar.
Nice.
And so they all pretty much spam their special abilities, and so that's a big help. And then when it's actually a city battle, on top of those three, the Bobbin is assisted also by a Gobu.
Gobu. Yeah, that's so cool.
So this little guy is rolling really deep.
He's rolling really deep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think, wow, that's crazy. Like, you're like, I'm a plant summoner. Wow. That's basically what he is.
Green mage.
Green mage. Oh,
green mage.
Green
yeah,
mage. Yes, yes, yes.
They did put it in the game.
Did. Well, it's like how they put the Maga Sisters into the game. Lol. Did you see that article, by the way?
No.
Yeah, it's lol. So, what about Chao Mui? Correct.
Chao Mui, you know what? It's another freelancer that I personally haven't run across.
Sounds delicious.
It really does. It sounds
spicy, but you'd think it's a super something.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Well, Chao Mui, I guess you got to influence by finding the Crimson Chigo and Crawler's Nest. I personally haven't put a lot of effort into that because I don't like running around finding ... which is why my level 62 thief still doesn't have his boots. No. Because this is like 8 question marks in that quest. But yeah, he's assisted by Azo and Vahi, and which, you know, the more the merrier, I guess.
Azo and Vahi are a spider and a scorpion, and they release Chigos when fighting, which is lol.
Awesome. Creepy.
Kind of weird, actually. Yeah. Lol Mithras and their desire to be all down with the Chigos. What about the exciting Dalzak, Kyle?
Dalzak and I had a falling out, but
once upon a time, imagine back when
yeah,
you were friends.
When I was killed, man. So let's see, I just gotta follow these charts here. So you catch him unallied in the Suramug campaign. Is that pronounced correctly?
Who knows?
Who knows? No. Okay, but if you talk to him as a monk. Is that correct? A monkey?
Yeah.
Monk. I'm a monkey. Monkey. There's no E at the end of our Y. It's monk.
Yeah. Is that just the cities too for when he's allied? Oh, okay. The cities. He's allied. But primarily uses 1-inch punch when close to defeated. His master may appear and assist him. I'm not his master anymore.
Who's his master?
Yeah, that's really cool, because if anybody's ever done the Monk AF quest, you know all about Dalzak and Ogby.
You've done it 4 times. Tell us about this Monk AF quest. Tell us about this.
Well, all of the Monk AF quests are started by Ogby in the Bastok, in Port Bastok, and you kind of go through some of the more somber stories, because I believe he was also Cornelia's master, and we all know what happened with that, if you go through the actual storyline.
I don't. Sorry.
but these two were doing their monk thing back during the Crystal War, and you can get them both to show up.
That's crazy.
Which is awesome.
I like how Squeenix really put their effort into looking at current characters and like putting them in the past as to what they would be, and also creating new characters, and you're like, what happened to them? Did they die? Oh no, they died. I don't see you in the present. Oh no. Oh yeah, we should probably also mention, Kyle, that this is all these are in the past. It's like a time warp right now in Final Fantasy XI.
Let's do the time warp again.
Yes.
Wait, no.
So somebody who started like 2 years ago is now playing in the past?
Huh?
No. These all these freelancers are in the past, because
so much sense.
There's a present, and that's when you start the game. Yeah. You're in the present. Like when you play the game, you're in the present. Right. But the history of the game, like the backstory, is that 20 years ago there was this terrible war that tore the world asunder, and now you can go back in time and fight in the war. Oh, now, these guys are all in the war.
Oh, you didn't mention you can go back in time. I thought you meant, like, everything in the present was just... Everything was just, we're just going to pull back to the past 20 years.
No.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's exciting like that. And now we're going to be talking about the exciting, the ever-popular Duskraven. Actually, do I know Duskraven? I've actually seen him, I think, in North Gustaburg battle. And he was just like... No one's here. I must come because we will die otherwise, because no one's here, because it's Lowell North Gustaburg. You have to trade him 500 gil because he's like, likes his money. He's commission based, and that's pretty much it. He's all like, I want my money. And he's like, he's probably powerful. He could cast tier 4 elemental magic. And you know what I love the best about these guys? Is they all do they always talk in the middle of campaign. And I was like, first I was like, who's this like guy, like just talking in the middle of campaign?
Who has time to talk, really?
In campaign. And like,
I cannot haste 5 people, refresh 4 of them, and talk at the same time.
It's always eloquently, like structured sentences. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, who is doing this? Like, are you just trying to...
Like, Who uses proper punctuation? Did that guy just use a semicolon properly?
Who does that? Yeah. And yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. But he looks like a Dark Knight, but I guess he's just like epic Dark Knight. He's like Sage Sundy's Dark Knight that's level 81, because he can cast tier 4 magic too. So, lol. And then we're going
Sage Sundy.
Sage Sundy. what about Ferris Coffin? DJ plays cool.
Yes. Ferris Coffin, yes, legendary Galka White Mage. Woo!
For the win.
Basically they are in Battalia Downs when unallied, in the cities when they are. Much like the other some other ones, talk to them as a white mage and you influence them to join. I've seen this NPC twice before. Extremely awesome, because on top of kind of acting as kind of like a pixie where they will only attack if attacked, but they basically walk around healing and raising everybody, also has a special ability called Reviviscence, which removes weakness.
Whoa! Oh my god.
I want that.
I want him. Yeah. I want him.
God. Awesome.
In my life.
If they give that to White Mage, I might play White Mage again one day.
No, they said they're going to add new White Mage abilities. Pray.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Not likely, but still.
They need to differentiate White Mages from Scholars, and I think that's a good way.
Oh, yeah, evidently he also has a Mjolnir, the Relic White Mage weapon.
Yeah.
And will spam Rangrith.
That's tight.
Even so, yeah, this guy's all sorts of pimping.
All sorts of pimping.
My kind of guy.
Nicely put.
And a Galka White Mage of all things. Who knew?
Galka White Mage mailing the crap out of stuff with Relic and removing weakness.
Galka awesome. White Mage zone.
Yep. Well, I don't know about that. Like, maybe when they're 75, but prior.
Oh, I've seen so many good ones, man. You even know.
Apparently I don't. What?
Apparently? Yes.
Really?
Yes, really.
Really now. Really.
Eerie.
I don't know. It's just...
I'm Batwing Wing Crystal. Blah, blah, blah.
someone like the Elmer signal. Okay. I don't know. That was random too. How about Kajitora, which actually sounds like a delicious dish, but I don't think it
actually... like a Danish, like, Twinkie. Kajitora, is that how you say it? Yeah.
I don't
Okay, well, he hangs loose unallied in the Battalia Downs, the Rollenberry Fields, and the Suramug Campaign. Champagne.
That looks like champagne to me.
I say champagne for that, yeah.
Alright, well, if you present your shurikens to him, he'll oblige with joining your...
present your shuriken.
present to me your shurikens, young one.
That's hilarious. I love your phrasing.
I wish I could do a Danish accent. Yeah, that'd be great. Alright, and he assists in 5 old semi...
Utsemi.
Utsemi clones.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading... Okay, Utsemi is a ninja exclusive ability that you use to clone yourself, in quotes, so that you don't get hit for, like, X amount of attacks. So, I'm assuming that's something like that. But then it says...
By clones, I think it's kind of like... I don't know if you've ever gone into Mamook and seen that 100-faced Fafulja or whatever it is, where when he casts Utsemi, as opposed to just getting... like shadows, there are actually 5 of them running around killing everybody.
Yeah,
they each have like 1,000 hit points only, though.
It said clones. I figured it would have said shadows. It was just shadows, so I think you're right.
Yeah. So it probably does that.
I've never seen him before. Cool. I'd be scared, though. He's like, Utsemi, like, ah! He's like that guy from Fantastic Four that can do that Chiznet. I don't know.
He's like that guy that can make clones of himself. You know, that guy.
I don't know, is that Fantastic Four? Maybe that isn't Fantastic.
I don't know. Man.
This is why I don't talk about 9/11 things, because I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't sit to memory well.
And now, okay. So we're going to talk about Lewinhart next, and I actually ran into him in Battalia Downs S, I was recovering my MP because I was like, I need MP. Then he started talking to me and he cast Mage's Ballad on me. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I wasn't upset. I was just like, you're not in my party. How does that work? And I clicked on him and then I found out he was a campaign NPC. And that was like, whoa. And he could also do other things. He always did Mage's Vow to me, but to other people you could do, he does Army's Paeon and Dragonfoe Mambo and Victory March. So he's kind of cool to have around. You trade him Holy Waters in the Eldermine Necropolis. And
he's a polywalker, dude. Tastes like hot dog water.
Roll holy water. And he's like crazy with his phrasing. He's just like he started talking to me. He's like, loyal children of Altana, arise and be sustained. Be nourished in thine undying faith and bask in victory's reframe. Mage's Ballad.
Mage's Ballad.
I was like, yes, Mage's Ballad. And then I started following him around because I'm like, I want that ballad.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because the 2-tick I get from Sigil and my nobles is just not enough. I should ought to be subbing Scholar, but unfortunately it's only like level 19. But that will be rectified.
Yeah, I gotta work on that, man. My White Mage subs Scholar, and I don't even like White Mage, and it's a good sub job.
Lol? How can you not like White Mage and get to 75? I don't appreciate people who do that.
Because I took it to 75 before I took my Red Mage to 75, and what happened was I was about, I think, level 73, and I was partying with some good friends of mine, and my one friend was a Red Mage, and I'm curing and buffing and regening and all that, and then I run out of MP, and I healed, and then she ran out of MP,
and then she converted and did it all her
again, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll finish it off. I'm at level 73, and then I level Red Mage.
That's fun. Yeah, I hear, obviously you did the mat fight prior to Repose, but I hear the mat fight with Repose on White Mage is epic easy now.
Yeah, I heard it's a joke now.
Which is good.
I went in with tacos and so many potions and ethers, man. Like, I was so ready for
No,
this.
I did a tank food because I just didn't want to get hurt.
Yeah, yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, lol. And, you've been saying you want Matt, so you can tell us about Matt.
Oh, I've been trying, me and a few of my friends have been trying so hard to get Matt. And what you do is you just trade a testimony to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he hangs out all over the place. North Gustaberg, Saruta Baruta, Ron Fair, and Battalia Downs. And, but, you know, everybody apparently is trying to get him because he never shows up anywhere.
Lazy old man.
You know, the old man, he's a monk, and any Red Mage will tell you that he'll rip things apart with Azure and Fists. And he is sometimes assisted by Deganhard in battle, but, you know, I've never seen it because everybody's trying to get him, and apparently they're all working as hard as I am.
I once saw Matt in a campaign battle, and I was like, whoa, it's Matt, and we got, and I think me and Fiopi got a screenshot together with him, and
he looks just as old as he does in the present.
I know! He's
yeah, seriously.
We go back 500 years, and he would be like, in my day, I leveled 50 jobs to 80 before they lowered the cap to 75 or something. I don't know what he would say. He would say lots of things.
Yeah.
What about the Maruna Karina?
Maruna Karina, yeah. What can you not say about Maruna Karina? I mean, like, really.
Actually, he talks a lot because I talk to him, and he's, like, crazy talkative.
I know that. But when he's unallied, you can catch a chat with him in Southern Sandoria.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Dangerous Waters. And when allied, the cities.
Yep. Well, yeah.
So,
well, two of them.
Okay. And yeah, just hit him up as a scholar, and he'll meet your requirements.
He doesn't. He's unique, and he's one of the campaigns who doesn't actually. I mean, he's one of the freelancers that doesn't actually fight. He's just. He's all talk and no action. Like, he just
a tactician.
He talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk.
He just, like, I had talked to him. He's in Bissac the other day, and I was like, "Hey," and he was like, "Here's lots of information about campaign." I was like, "Are you gonna fight?" And he's like, "No." I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I was like, okay, that's
so cool. I'm a Taru. I have no HP. And I'm a scholar, so I don't have stone skin.
Or haste / sigh. Well, and yeah, that I guess That's pretty much all there is to say about him.
Also track Freelancer Alliances.
What?
Freelancer Allegiances?
Allegiance.
It should be Allegiances, but it says Alliances.
Yeah, so.
I think
yeah.
Allegiances would be a better word to use there.
Yeah.
Then
fix it, Wiki.
Okay.
So he's a chatty, weak, mooch, peeping Tom stalker. Is that what you're saying?
But you,
whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, he also tells you lots of stuff, like how much funds you have. And then he also tells
so he watches your bank account.
And he tells you how many, yeah, and he tells you your morale, apparently. I see
you're
that.
You're not too happy.
So. You're really happy. Actually, not really. I just died. No, you're happy and you're gonna like it.
You're happy to see me. You better be.
Lol. He says, what is all this? Oh, he tells you how to recruit all the freelancers too. That's cool.
Well, that's nice of him.
You're like, hey.
But we're doing that right now, so you guys don't really.
Yeah, you don't need to talk to him. But if you feel like not listening to us and reading from a silly Taruwaru who will rhyme quite frequently, then this is actually kind of cool. All the stuff he tells you, but too bad he doesn't do anything. Why can't he like?
He's no Mac.
Cast Thunder 4 or something.
Yeah, he has tier 4 magic. Spell. He has raise 2. Do something with that.
Yeah,
and you know, and I read he since he's in the cities. He actually disappears when the campaign battle starts in the city.
What a sissy.
He's such a sissy. He can't even defend himself. He's like, I'm just gonna go in that little tower.
I've been awake since 3 o'clock yesterday. I'm gonna go now.
I've got places to be and, you know, it's getting late. It's
golly, I gotta go to the library, you know?
Actually,
I got some work to do.
Oh, midterm due next week? What? Okay, bye. Okay. Then we're going to talk about the lovely Progo DJ Play School.
What Progo?
Yes, yeah. No, not pierogies. These aren't cheese and potato filled pasta things.
Lol.
These are frogs instead. And anybody that's done salvage or certain besiege, you know all about freaking frogs. But this is your chance to be frog master somewhat. West Sarita Baruta, you have the chance to, if you have Luface flies on you, trade them to a Perogo servant. I think the servants actually look like little frogs. They aren't the ones that stand on their hind legs with staffs and have little fez hats on. But if you do manage to get them to join you, and during the campaign battle, the prince will show up, which is one of those cool looking Perogos, with 3 of these Perogo servants. And, with those, it does actually have Death and Break God, the prince does, so that's a big thing on your hand. Also, it uses Frog Cheer, and so all this stuff that you've probably have used against you in certain endgame special events actually have on your side if you manage to influence the Perogo servant to join your army in the campaign. So that's actually really cool. I think I've seen these Perogos a couple of times doing campaigns and I think in Saramug, they'll just show up and start killing Yaguto, which is kind of cool.
They're also drummers. Yes. All drummer band.
There's like drumline, and it's like drumline and weird.
Here.
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a good illusion. Who's in that movie?
I've only seen it like once. It's a good movie.
It's good. I was going to say, like, it's like, the Perogos are
drumline. Isn't that like Nick Cannon?
That's who it was. I kept wanting to say it was Chris Brown, but I was like, no, it isn't Chris Brown. It's not him. Who is it? Okay, good job figuring that out. Rainmard, please. Rainmard.
I'm glad I get to talk about this guy. He's a red mage, and I love red mage, seriously. And this guy here. And I don't know how many of you listeners can remember way back when Red Mage, I don't know, if you look at your Red Mage and you're playing Final Fantasy XI right now, open up your Magic Skills tab. And if you're sub Black Mage or anything but sub White Mage, it's strange. You have a Divine Magic skill, but no Divine Magic spells. Red Mage also used to have Flash.
Really?
Yeah. And so does Rainmard.
Aww.
Yep.
I like how I like how it specifies cast many red mage spells as well as Flash. Like,
well, Flash used to be a red mage spell, and then they took it away from me.
It's like a shout out.
Way back in the day.
But you can find this guy. He's hanging around Jugner Forest, and all you gotta do is talk to him as a red mage, and it'll sway him. I mean, he's a red mage. What can I say? He can do anything, convert, and do it again.
Go solo, go solo Gwyver while in a campaign.
Solo Gwyver.
While in a campaign battle.
That's right, because he's a red mage.
One hand doing the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's.
Has anyone ran across Rainmard?
I saw him. I wasn't doing a campaign to go help blue mages get whatever that gnoll thing is. Azure and Claws. I think something like that. Anyway, I seen him. I was just running by, passing through. I was like, "Oh, it's Rainmard." Oh, I don't have time to fight with him though.
Fight with him? Lol. That reminds me of like just 2 days ago, me, Kamara, and another white mage ran into each other in Whitegate, and then like it all started with Kamara casting Protect for 4, and then the other white mage is like Protect for 5, and I was like Shellra 5, and then it was like a white mage spell off. Like, it's like region 3. It was crazy. It was fun stuff. It's like step it up in white mage.
That's awesome.
And now to the lovely Tar Beastmaster, Rongo Nongo. And he shockingly summons buffaloes, domals, manticores, birds, and tigers. Oh my. I'm a beastmaster for life, and you just have to trade them jug pets. Conveniently enough, so we could probably use them in battle.
Yeah, there you go.
So he's like, whoever helps me most in helping you, help me help you. Help me help you.
Help me help you. Nicely put.
lol. And he's in Fort Karuga and Naruga, and then otherwise he's in basically the cities, which they basically all are. And that's pretty much it. I never seen him. Has anyone ever seen this Rongo Nongo?
No.
It's Rongo Nongo business.
Rongo Nongo does what Rongo Nongo wants to do, and no one asks him about his business. Seriously. So what about Tiziana? Krut?
It's funny that people say that because Kurt's my brother's name, and
it's your own fault. It's your own fault for naming yourself this, okay?
Oh, well, actually, it's my brother's fault for making Krut the mule, which I then got white mage level 68, and he decided he wanted to play again. I was like, yeah, you're gonna have to get a new account. but yeah, this Tiziana, Titania.
You're just trying to say the first three letters of that as many times as you can.
Titana? Titania. Titania.
Whatever. It looks like Titania. but anyway, this is the pixie one, and I've seen them in battle, and it was the easiest campaign battle ever, because it was, like 9 fairies on drugs with infinite MP, constantly keeping everybody alive. And, you know, from what I hear, she's, one of the harder, freelancers to get. What you gotta do is free bottle pixies in Witchfire Glen. And, she hangs around Grauberg S. No, Grauberg normal.
Yeah, there's no Grauberg.
There's a Grauberg in the present. You really have to say the S at the end of that.
they talked about it. They may be adding those three zones in the present. Like, what happened to them? They're still there. Who knows?
Yeah. Unless they do a quest where the entire area just gets bombed. I don't know. There's no explanation for it to not be there. But, yeah, it's a really good freelancer. When I was in battle, this guy helped me out a lot.
True.
Quick question. How do you go back in time in the game?
There's Cavernous Maws, which is like a time portal. You go through the Cavernous Maw, you come out on the other side, same place 20 years ago.
Okay.
And then you go through it again to go 20 years present.
Back again.
Or you're going back to the future.
You just hang around that other place long enough, it just become the present.
Yeah, I felt like that. When you do campaign battles like for like weeks nonstop, you're like, I don't even know what the present looks like anymore.
it's the world.
Me. Look at me go. Like, oh, no, don't attack him. Aww.
Like, why am I fading away?
My arm go.
Oh, we're going to write a video of VG Cats. Lol. So, Ula and Killwitch.
Cool Hook.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, actually, I've read this before in high school. Ula and Cool Hook is actually a, it's part of the King Arthur mythos.
Oh, of course.
As far as it relates to Final Fantasy XI, they're in North Gustaberg. Normally just Ula. What happens is if you trade them, certain types of flowers, let me see here, you have the amaryllis, carnation, a marguerite, lilac, rain lily, or red rose, then you gain influence with them. Again, when they're part of the allied army, they'll be in one of the cities. What's cool about these two is that they're, on top of being ridiculously powerful, they always work together and as a team, so they're always on the same target.
Mm-hmm.
Ula, I think Ula is a red mage, or because she uses her, she's one of those few NPCs that gets their own special attack. But she's either red mage or a white mage, one of the two. And then Cool Hook is a paladin with like relic.
They're both.
So he'll.
They're both paladins. Well.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, Cool Hook actually, he has an Excalibur and will spam Knights of the Round.
Mm-hmm.
And in battle, if Ula dies, Cool Hook basically goes into rage mode.
That's epic.
Yeah. So he, like, Cool Hook literally has its own rage mode and he will thrash anything. I've seen these two once. Ula didn't die, so I haven't seen the wrath of Cool Hook, I suppose. But yeah, I guess try to influence them if you see them, because these two are ridiculously awesome, just in standard campaign battles. I've seen these two go toe to toe with, I don't know if any of you have done the, campaign in Pashao, there's, like Gigi Rock, something or other, one of the Quaidavs that has those two Paesti pets. But these two can kill all three of those.
Wow.
By them. So they're ridiculously powerful. So, again, seeing as we've kind of come to the end of the list of freelance NPCs out there, if you do have the opportunity to add some influence, you know, maybe you don't want to go completely out of your way to do it, but there are a lot of players out there that, you know, basically at this point, they exclusively do campaign, kind of like you were saying, you know, people that have gone through, you know, all of their high-level jobs doing strictly campaign, yeah, their skills maybe suck, but they're pretty dependent on it, and, you know, being successful in campaign means you want to have all the help you can get.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm reading, and it says that if Ula dies, Killwitch gains invincible effect, so he just can't die.
That's pissed off.
That's ridiculous.
I got a question, a quick question number two.
Yes.
This things you have to do to gain influence on them, is it like guaranteed that they'll help you once you do whatever it is,
well,
or is it just
whoever,
kind of like
whoever helps?
Since you keep saying gain influence, so I don't understand.
Whoever helps them the most that previous week will win them, unless not enough people do it, and then they will just go back to.
Yeah, they have to have a certain amount of total overall influence tried to be placed on them, but then when somebody does win their affection, I suppose, what happens is they'll be at town if they're part of the army, one of the three cities, and then they will just show up when they feel like it. I don't know if there's a specific methodology when it comes to these freelancers and when they show up, but you know, it could be at the beginning of a battle. I've seen some where if they're on the defensive, they might show up before a campaign battle even starts.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of run around in circles and then wait for people to come up.
They say Rainmard, so say if you and Ed go up to him and talk to him as a red mage, like it says it's required, what difference does it make that will sway them to one of you or the other?
I think it's the amount of people, just the amount of people that show up and try to influence them, because whenever you talk to one of these NPCs, I mean, when you're part of a campaign, you're part of one of the three cities' armies. So when
but
you
like,
talk
they
to
only
them,
help, they only help one person or like a party?
One city
at a time. Whenever somebody has their ally, they'll only go to that city's campaign areas.
Gotcha, I missed that.
Yeah, there's basically three cities that are always in a struggle, and Bisak's always last. That's all you really, that's all you know. Winters and Sandoria do. Winters and Sandoria, like, going between first and second.
I love you, Bastok.
Me too. Bisak for life. I will never switch Bisak in the present, though. Never, ever, ever.
No. Unless I'm ranked 10, and I'm thinking about switching to Winders just for the gill.
But you're going back to Bisak, though, the second you're done with it. Of course. Winders is just... Winders is just too big for its own good. Sandoria is just too snooty, and Bisak is just right.
I don't understand how Winders is so huge. You got the little Tarus with these teeny little toothpick legs.
I know.
And a giant city. Like, their city is the size of the entire Otterugan area.
I swear. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know what those Tarus were thinking. Big minds. But, yeah, I don't know.
Big minds, big dreams.
Big minds.
Forgot about your legs.
There's actually... Well, I didn't discover till lately that there's teleport Tarus in...
Yeah, Teletaru.
Yeah, but that still doesn't help too much, because...
No,
because
you still have to run across the map to get to him. Yeah. You might as well just zone.
I know. It's ridiculous. Tarus are silly.
I went and did the Back Alley Mago's quest, and I've only done it for Winders, because it's the only nation that takes me so long to run around in.
Yeah, did you... I discussed that before, episode 3. Check it out.
Yeah.
I've only done it for Bisak, actually, because I'm in Bisak, and I don't want to... And in Whitegate, I don't want to really appear in Alzebi unnoticed, so I'd just rather stay.
I don't like going into Alzebi because I'm too lazy to check and see if there's a besieged on. I don't want to run in there and be like, oh, now I'm stuck with monsters everywhere.
Well, you're subbing Black Mage
for
Warp.
Die.
Subbing Black Mage for Warp, and you just leave. I'm out of here.
I don't sub Black Mage, I sub Ninja.
On Red Mage full time?
Never go anywhere without the ability to warp back to your home point.
Seriously.
You'll never know. You'll never know.
Death is a good way to warp.
No way. Well, I mean, if you're like a ninja and you're Minjin Gakurang, sure.
Experience is a joke now. It's so stupid. You do one campaign battle and it's like, oh, look, I just got all my experience back.
Yeah, but it still isn't. It's still nice. Okay. And now there's... four NPCs that will that are for the Beastmen. Like, you have all those, but then you have four that are for the Beastmen. And I've actually seen some of these guys around, like Ragejigu R. De Origuile. Yeah.
Greg.
Yeah. And anyways,
Greg,
he's the guy he's the guy from the Mimura event. He's the evil guy. And he's like,
yeah.
He's like, wah, and he uses he like sleeps everyone in the zone and paralyzes everyone and silences everyone.
That guy who's always doing that to
and
me.
Binding and blinding and cursing, and then you're just dead, and then you're just sad. And it says it has has additional effects paralysis on melee hits. So not only does he paralyze you, but when he hits you, you're paralyzed too. So you're just like, you're bumming, and then I feel like I've seen him all the time in Jugner, like, owning us. I feel sad.
I think I saw him in a city battle once.
Oh, that's sad.
I don't remember what one, but we were just getting torn up.
Poor city. Yeah.
Never guessed what city it was.
Oh, yeah, totally, Bisak. Everyone else freaking defends their stealth, not us. Or not you, I could say not you now, for now. You.
Traitor.
I'm coming back. Coming back. Okay. What about Eurytos?
Eurytos?
Yeah.
He's the giant Gigas with all the Gigas mercenaries, and he's the ranger that actually one hit me once.
Oh, jeez.
He punch shot me with Eagle Eye Shot. I don't even know what I did. I was just standing there curing people, and boom, Eagle Eye Shot.
Well, that's what you do.
Falls to the ground.
That's what you do.
Isn't this guy in the present day in Delkfoot Tower now?
Yeah. But he's weak sauce.
Not so tasty.
I'm pretty sure it's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, big old Gigas. Has a bunch of Gigas buddies and can one shot Corrupt Mage.
Fear.
Lol. It sounds scary because
Yeah.
All four of these guys are kind of scary, except for this one. Boodlix. He is a goblin. And he just... And all he does...
I like your boots.
I'd like to lick them, please.
Are you going to eat that?
What? Did you just ask me that? No, lol. He uses bomb toss, but never backfires. There's been no reported backfiring of his bomb toss tree.
Aww.
Which is
And he uses it all the freaking time. How?
I've never seen him. Is he bad? Like, do you not like him?
He's just annoying because it's not like a bomb toss that does like 500 or 600 damage, but he uses it like every 10 seconds. So it's just like attack, attack, bomb toss, attack, bomb toss, bomb toss.
Stop.
So,
bomb toss.
Toss bomb. Rahila.
What about the last on our list of? Evil freelancers. Did you play school?
Damn Kaiser Behemoth, screw this thing. Okay, so the biggest, one of the largest enemies in the game, and he will sneak up on you every time. Like, you'll just be fighting a campaign battle, or you'll be fighting some other monsters, and how did I just get hit for 1200 damage? And then you all of a sudden you see this giant Kaiser Behemoth there just laying waste to everything in front of it. I've been killed by this thing way too many times, and so I kind of take it personally talking about him. Freaking Kaiser Behemoth will show up and just ruin your stuff.
Yeah.
My stuff.
No, you ruined my stuff, man. You know how long it took me to get that joy is?
Yeah, and it keeps most of, I think, yeah, it keeps just about all of the Behemoth special attacks. So Thunderbolt, Shockwave, and Meteor. Oh, yeah, it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Meteor. It uses it. And then, because there's probably little to no encapsulated organization in your campaign battle, whoever's the target's probably not going to tell you and run away, so you know how that's going to end.
Repose! I better resist sleep. I try to repose crap all the time. I sometimes get stuff slept, but then they come after me 5 minutes later, and then I die.
I've had that happen on Corsair while I just like randomly light shot stuff because it's like hee hee light shot light sleep face woo and oh crap I really can't defend myself well with these trailer cookeries.
Oh no, now there's 7 of these things.
And they're mad because your friend you slept their friend. Darn you. So they're going to be opening up new campaign areas soon, which I just read in the interview yesterday. They're going to be adding Northlands, hopefully in the next update.
Nice. Awesome.
So there's definitely a possibility for more freelancers on your side and the enemy side. So
yeah, I think in that same interview they even said that because they asked the question, seeing as the game is still expanding with the new expansion and you have right now. Absolute Virtue and Pandemonium Warden, is there a chance that you'll add some other really, really big bad nasty? And they were like, yeah. So, I'm
just hold out on the big baddies till someone downs Pandemonium Warden.
No, someone did. Apathy did.
Somebody did.
Someone did.
Apathy on Remora did. Yeah, they basically, I think what they do, they use like a high level Dia on it and then logged out while it proceeded to scorch
off with that's the cheesiest thing I've ever heard.
Whatever. They're the only one who won, so bravo.
Welcome to the debate. Welcome to the debate, my friend. That's kind of become I wouldn't really call it a point of contention, but you know, it's people are like, okay, well, it's cool that you beat it, but
Could you
logging out really?
Like, actually beat it?
Well, I'm not going to question whether or not that's actually beating it. They killed it. They got the drops. If Square wants to, quote-unquote, adjust it because it's not an intended back combat method, then that's their prerogative. But I congratulate them because I ain't beating Pandemonium Warden anytime soon.
Yeah, see.
Half of me is like, wow, I can't believe they beat Pandemonium Warden. And the other half is like, wow, what a cheesy, cheesy way to do something.
Well, they had to keep someone there. Like, they made, like, a paladin stay so that they didn't lose hate.
Well, yeah, it's like, a sacrificial lamb, essentially.
Yeah.
Here, eat 8 astral flows and join.
Like, oh, don't worry, guys. I'll be fine.
I mean, it's like, hey, you get to be Bruce Willis in Armageddon. Here, press the button. It's like, really?
Really now?
Really?
Why is he delaying?
I didn't hear that people have beat Pandemonium Warden. I thought he was still undefeated.
Nope. You need to keep up to date on your news then, sir.
Yeah, that was, what, about a couple weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
That would be the problem. I took a bit of a break.
That's cool. Yep,
so now we're all back on AV, and, you know, some interesting theories have come to light as of recent.
Yes, I'm excited.
Regarding the weapons and torques, so we'll have to see if somebody can step up to figure it out.
The key to beating AV is Puppet Master.
Puppet Master. Woo!
Hope Staff, Hope Torque, and you're just like, I own life. No, you just use a maneuver, and it, like, freaks AV out, and he, like, starts convulsing on the floor, and you just win. And then I get Behemoth Hose somehow, randomly. Please. I'm like, okay. I don't know how, but it happened.
Where he's right about to die, and his Regan, like, quadruples.
Ah!
Who knows? And now we're gonna talk about emails, or the lack thereof, which is actually, yeah, edwith@limbrickradio.com. I don't blame you for not emailing me because, I don't know, like...
I do. I blame all of you. Especially you. Yeah, you.
I find it worse if you say the email like 5 times slowly.
Well, I mean, I understand. It's just, my show's kind of infrequent and stuff like that. But I would hope that anyone who enjoys the show go checks out my forum section at Limbrick Radio. I'm hoping to get a website that's been delayed severely for the past while. And unfortunately, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but Fiofi is no longer a part of the show, which is unfortunate because Fiofi, lol. And Jester King will be filling in for him, even though Jester King isn't even here, so you wouldn't even be able to know that. But Jester had some previous engagements. So DJ Play School very, very nobly stood in for both Fiofi and Jester King. You're two people right now, DJ.
Oh, excellent. Well, my pleasure.
You're epic at that.
Twice as good as the rest. Except me.
You're the best.
Yeah. So I hope to bring you more shows. If you have any cool topic suggestions for my random show, please send them my way because, like, Lolfreeze Lancers, who thought of this topic? Me, yeah. Me, so.
Now, this is important, because campaign, a lot of people out there rely solely on campaign, or if you campaign for any moderate amount, you'll probably see the same, you know, like the same 4 or 5 people there all the time.
Seriously.
Every time you go.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty integral part to some people's leveling regimen. So, hey, this is important. This helps out a ton.
I know if I only have like 2 hours to play, I'm just like, I'm going to go campaign.
Campaign, yeah. 2 hours, I mean, you get some good matches or, you know, hey, a couple of free fortification smashes and,
then you say AFK for 5 hours, yeah. That's me.
Yeah. AFK. Go make a sandwich.
No.
Make a sandwich.
No.
Coffee.
No, we need to talk about the worst thing we ever did in campaign. Okay. I'll start and hopefully you can one-up me. One time a campaign battle started in Pasha Marshland's S, and there was a, It was smashing the walls, so I set me and Hanya on it, and then I literally went out to lunch, came back and I was still fighting. It was amazing. I got great experience from that fight too. I was like, good job.
Wow.
Good job, Hanya.
I wasn't in campaign. Like I didn't have tag. What I was doing is I was on my Dark Knight and I was skilling up my greatsword, and so I find a fortification. I was only like a 40, maybe mid 40s. Find a fortification.
You so died.
Grabbed my greatsword and swung at it and went to sleep.
Oh, wow.
My brother's like, well, you're probably going to die. Like, there's going to be monsters in the lag. You know what? I don't even care. I'm just going to bed. I'm going to leave my guy swinging here. And I'll wake up and I'll home pointed by default, yep. And I'll have a few skill levels.
So what happened?
And then you come back.
Yeah, I just died. I ended up dying. something aggroed me. I don't know what it was, but I died and woke up, logged out, went to school.
Nice.
Sounds fun.
It's efficiency.
Did you get any skill ups? Did you happen to notice?
Yeah, I got a couple.
Woot, skill ups.
I got up to, I think, 150 on, maybe a little lower than that.
I think caps at 150.
Yeah, they cap out because, and I got that on my greatsword. Then I retired my Dark Knight because it's really not that much fun.
So really no loss overall.
Really overall not a big deal.
DJ Play School, do you have any exciting campaign stories to share?
No, just, you know how most campaigns go when the enemies are on the defensive and you should, you know, by the time it starts and everybody starts, you know, getting their tags and showing up, there are already like 80 bazillion enemies walking around in circles out in front of it. And basically it's just waiting for one person to manage to find that one enemy that's by themselves so you can pull and start killing. And okay, so one of these Kratavs kind of walks a couple of steps out from the very front, just in front of the little banner thing that's out in front, and I'm just like, okay, this one looks like a good one. So I, you know, pull out my controller and I toss it. And right as I'm, you know, start the animation for it, it starts walking back toward a huge group of guys. I'm like, no, 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 no. And I pull like 30 guys. And everybody's like running away, and of course I get completely owned. Yeah. I think like four other people ended up dying near me, and I'm just like, okay, I'm never pulling ever again. And I have never pulled an enemy in that fashion since that one time. It was like, no, never again. I can't do this.
Bull. Yeah, I'm always scared whenever you're in those campaign battles. You're like, it's like you and like 10 other people in Pashao. You're like. So you want to pull? So you want to pull? And then you're looking around like, I'm not pulling. You want to pull?
I'm not pulling. I'm a red mage. There's a thief over there. Make him do it.
And eventually someone just gets aggro, and that's just what happened.
Got it.
Yeah. That's
pretty tough. I pulled once, but I was just flipping through my spells real quick, and I meant to pull with Dia, but I may or may not have pulled with Diaga.
Oh no. Die.
Yeah, that caused a bit of a problem.
That'd be ridiculous. Ridiculous. So do you have any shout outs you would like to make? Krut Mage.
Do I have any shout outs? Well, since you keep saying it, I might as well throw my first shout out to my brother Kurt. also known as Mageaholic on Garuda. He's the Red Mage Master. Everything I learned about Red Mage, I learned from him. Let's see. Shout out to Dubwa, Solo, Soraka and Amara, and all of the demons of Anadil. I love you guys. And Midnight Memory, if you find out that Ed here doesn't have Warrior Sub leveled for his Puppet Master, go easy on him.
Thank you. Thank you. And DJ Play School, do you have any shout outs you'd like to make?
Just a couple shout outs to the community at large, just for you, Limit Break Radio, Pet Food Alpha, Vanadil Profiles for, you know, putting me on here in recent months. The big shout out in game to, my both social and, Dynamis LS, the Alliance of Altana, and, Spank and Relic. You know, we'll get those COPs done so we can do Dreamland Dynamis here shortly, guys. Keep up.
True. And,
yeah, I'm 1 of 7 on those promies
right now. Oh my god, yeah.
I have yet to have a character out of all four of my characters that have had level 75 jobs. I've yet to smoothly make it through the freaking promie runs.
Promies are so ridiculous.
I love promies. I leveled summoner just to do them though, because everyone was like, we don't want your black mage, so please level something else. And I leveled summoner just for that.
White mage is completely acceptable to bring to promies.
Yeah, but I hate white mage. I don't think you fully understand how much I hate white mage. Let me explain this to you.
I love white mage though. You haters.
I can't stand it. Like, everything I can do on my white mage, I can do on my red mage.
Not
better.
No. Can you cure 5 on your red mage? I think not. Raise 3.
Cure 4.
Raise
and
3.
And then deal with the aggro better.
Raise 3.
Yeah, but when the corrupt mage is there, nobody dies.
Oh,
nobody.
Oh yeah. Ever. Ever. Seriously, you had wipes, Nizel. Don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. You know what I do for fun sometimes? I hang out in Nizul Isle staging point and I'm just like, raise 3 people who failed. I'm like, I'm sorry.
See, this is what you have to do for fun as a white mage. What I do is I go and solo things as red mage.
Oh my god, solo and white mage? Are you kidding? Like, I'll duo with anybody, but solo? No.
Actually, I know a couple solar good rogue. White mage soloers.
Maybe a decent club skill, maybe. Maybe.
Anna. I don't know if you guys know Anna.
No.
But
she's awesome.
You guys never heard of Anna? Oh my god. Open your ears. No, I'm not gonna get into that. She's a nice girl sometimes, but she can get pretty defensive when you start to talk to her about her white mage thief.
Oh, that sounds like a cool combination. I should try that.
Shut up, Ed.
No,
never do
no,
that.
No, like sneak attack and trick attack would increase your weapon skill output.
Yeah, because that's completely acceptable.
Well, I mean, if you're just doing it for fun, of course you're not going to be in a party like that.
No, this is how she got to level 75 on Thief and White Mages. White Mage, Thief, White Mage.
That's interesting.
Outrageous.
Awesome.
That is.
I don't know how
epic.
She did. I think you got to 75 for me. I don't know how she.
I plan to. I have a character, a separate character. She's a Mithra, and I plan to take her all the way to 75 war using a polearm exclusively. I'm gonna see how that goes.
Boo.
Polearm. LOL. Polearm. And LOL. Derg.
But I'm not a dragon. I'm a war using a polearm.
So you're a wannabe LOL. Derg.
Yes.
Have fun staying in parties, my friend.
Have fun campaigning your way to 75.
Hey, as long as I make
yeah,
it.
That too.
As long as I make it to 75, I'll be happy with my life.
Hey, I know some information about freelancers you might be interested in.
Really? Nice. Really? Really now. Do you have any exciting shout outs for you for the world to hear, Kyle?
No, just kidding.
Please thank the Academy.
Jamie, Colin, Daryl, Lauren, David, if they listen. And anybody from FXN that's listening, yo, I'll make sure to give a shout out for being on the show later today when we do our show.
Yay!
So I'm sure there's Final Fantasy XI listeners on there. I can direct to Limit Break Radio. Oh, shout out to Craig.
Hey! Yeah, I forgot to shout out to Kyle. Kyle?
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Thanks for listening to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lol.
Thanks for translating.
Yeah, that's what I do, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you invited Craig, Kyle, because
yeah, smooth move.
It's smart of you on several levels. Lol. JK. And I guess that brings us to the closing of our show. Edwith@limbicradio.com. Send me your emails and I will respond back. I don't bite, I swear. So, everyone say goodbye.
All right, bye.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah.
Later, everyone.
Take it easy.
Yeah, see ya.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Final Fantasy, Tetra Master, and Vanadil are registered trademarks of Square Enix. Square Enix and PlayAligned are registered trademarks of Square Enix. Elegantly Edwith and Limit Break Radio are solely responsible for its content.
We've been fighting a long time. We are outnumbered by crabs. Humes have a strength that cannot be measured. This is Kokannon, and if you're hearing this, you are the Alliance. This summer, the Elegantly Edwith Tribune tackles the topics other Tribunes are too scared to talk about. Notorious monsters.